It's O'Neill Outside. On News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. For fishing and hunting or anything in the great outdoors, O'Neill Williams is your guide. Let's go outside with O'Neill.
Good morning, boys and girls, from Black Powder Headquarters and the Bojangles Studio high on Sassafras Mountain in North Georgia. This is O'Neill Outside. Welcome to a brand new, unused opening day of the turkey season, Saturday morning. Oh, yeah, welcome to the program, everyone. This is O'Neill. Woman Williams is here. She got up this morning because she has to do words of wisdom and a few things and manage the Facebook page. Are you getting a lot of action over there?
No.
Not much, huh? Okay. Well, she's here anyway to do that. So welcome to the program, everyone. This is O'Neill, and it's my pleasure to invite you to listen to the following. This program is brought to you by Tough Shed, Hayes Family of Auto Dealerships, Striplings, Bug Band, Bojangles, Rockwell Tools, Stone Mountain Toyota, the Whitetail Institute, Fisher's Choice, Bates and Cloak and Pay Dirt, and Balmer Outdoors, Destination America, FireAid 2000, and Arachnet. We've got another hour of outdoors headed your way. Should you like to join us, the telephone numbers are 404-872-0750 or outside the Atlanta calling area 800-972-8255. A full bank of calls. We have some features in the program. But first of all, let's start out talking to Mark in Camden County. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, O'Neill. How you doing this morning?
Good, man. You got them located?
I'm on my way up to Jeff Davis County to float the river this morning.
So oh, good for you.
Got ideal weather conditions. Oh. So it's going to be dead quiet. Temperature probably in the low 50s here. And I came up 2 weeks ago, and the birds were already gobbling pretty good.
All right, so good. You did some scouting. You know where they're living.
Oh, yeah.
It's really not difficult, is it?
No, sir, it's not. And then the section of river I'm fixing to go float, I've been doing it for probably close to 35 years, man. So.
Yes, floating down the river hunting turkeys.
Yeah, you were talking about turkey hunting experience earlier. I got to thinking. I said, well, I'm entering into my 45th season. So.
Good for you. Good for you. Yep. How many birds do you think you've taken over the year, Mark?
Ones that I've actually shot, ones I've actually called up for other people.
Both, yes, combination.
I probably average 3 or 4 a year, I guess, for, I don't know, it'd be over 100.
Yeah, how about that? What's the biggest you ever took? Do you weigh them when there's a big one?
Yeah, I weigh them. I shot one up in Ohio a few years ago that was 24 and a half pounds, but that's almost like cheating. Those birds up there look like Godzilla when they come walking up.
Yes, yes, they do. Huge.
Georgia bird I've ever killed was probably a little shot, 21 pounds. But the one I'm most proud of is an old, scraggly old bird that I killed. It took me 3 weeks to get him. He had 1 5/8 spurs, and you know, he was the old dominant bird in the area, and I've been hunting him for a couple of years, and I finally got him.
Well, that's always fun to pick out a bird and work him, right?
Yeah, oh yeah, most definitely.
You bet. Know. Good luck to you, pal.
Yes, sir.
As always, let me know how you do, okay?
I will.
Thanks, Mark. Be safe. Good luck to you. Now let's talk fishing with Mac. What do you say,
morning,
my friend? I think about you on the way up 400. I always go over Ball Ridge Creek, and it looks like it might be filling up a little bit. What do you think?
A little bit. Got a ways to go, but at least it is. The lake rose, actually, for a change this week, so we're slightly, but that's good. So
yeah.
Got a ways to go, though. Well, I'm excited, though. I've been listening to the show, and gosh, I won't be the only one fishing this morning.
It sounds like it, doesn't it?
Yeah, they're all out there in the woods.
That's
said the woods are closed. I've been telling everybody it's open. The lake's closed. I'll take care of the lake. Y'all go on.
There you go.
It's all good. It's a good day to do both. What a fabulous first Saturday of spring. We got some great weather, and fishing's good, and I'm sure there'll be a lot of birds moving, so good weekend.
You bet.
If you are going fishing, Lanier's pattern, and you know, we've talked about this so many times, O'Neill. I saw a post this morning on Facebook from Ezell Cox up in Cherokee Lake.
Uh-huh.
Catching fish, chasing the birds, and that's exactly what we're doing here. And, you know, that lake's, they're on par with us and other lakes. I'm hearing the same thing. But the gulls are the key right now. If you'll keep moving around the lake till you see gulls, most times they'll have fish under them, and the pattern's been live baits on free lines, planer boards. Catching a fair number of fish, casting a jig, just a like a half-ounce super jig, and small baits still. We're catching a lot of fish with medium shiners, but the differences between now and a week ago, 2 weeks ago, I feel like they're getting a little more aggressive, so I would put some big baits in the spread and some little baits. It kind of mix it up there because they are starting to respond to the bigger baits as well. So, but it's
bigger
all good.
Fish, bigger bite. Bait, right?
Yep. And I've been pulling a couple lines with medium shiners and one with a herring, and then I'll put out a big old gizzard shad out there, and they're responding to all of them. So keep
How about that?
Yeah, mix it all up. If you're bass fishing, man, they're really responding in this nice weather. A lot of fish getting shallow. Here on Lanier, a dock bite, a robo worm on a weedless wonder around a shallow dock in the back of a pocket, and you'll have a lot of fun. You'll catch a lot of fish doing that today. That pattern's really strong.
Well, good. Well, then, these folks that aren't turkey hunting, maybe you'll be at the lake.
If they would, I'll tell you, this is the week you need to go do one or the other.
Indeed.
It's too good of weather, too good opportunity here.
That's right, and we've got some rain coming in late, so this, from a weather standpoint, with a barometric pressure, this is perfect, isn't it?
This is. If the fish have read any textbooks at
you
all,
bet.
They're not
absolutely
to eat today.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, this is really good conditions. Absolutely.
All right, have you got some springtime days open, Mac?
We got a couple of days scattered in April and lots in May. The fishing's going to just stay good right through that time frame. So, yeah, give us a call at 770-271-0851, or you can always find us online at CaptainMax.com, CaptainMacks.com.
Wonderful. Good luck to you, pal. Catch a great old biggin' for somebody today.
We're sure going to try and do that. Everybody have a great weekend. Be safe, whether you're on the water, in the woods. Have a great weekend. Be outside. That's the thing.
Thanks for taking the time to call, Mac. It means a lot to everybody. I really do.
My pleasure, my friend. Have a great weekend.
You bet. You say. You bet. You bet. All right, 13 after the hour, so about 55 degrees. Now let's talk to Asa for calling from Paulding County, Georgia. Good morning, Asa.
How's it going?
Lovely.
I'm calling from Spaulding, not Paulding.
Paulding. Okay, I got you. It's written down here incorrectly, but we welcome your call in any case.
All right, I was calling that fishery you mentioned earlier for a gentleman going with his kids.
Yes.
Is that a fishery that you could do in a day, like a one-day trip?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Can I get the name of that fishery?
Well it's the Burton Fish Hatchery at Lake Burton, Georgia.
Burton Lake Fishery.
Yeah, it's Jason just told me, reminded me, and I appreciate that, it's Moccasin Creek State Park. And the campsite is Moccasin Creek. The Burton Fish Hatchery is right next to it, and the stream is between the two.
It's pretty good fishing.
Oh yeah. Well, it's rather sterile, and it's basically there for the kids to fish.
Okay, that's what I'm wondering, because I'm taking my 8-year-old nephew and my 13-year-old nephew, and
perfect, absolutely,
you know,
perfect.
I want to make sure to catch some stuff, but I appreciate you for that one. And I'm not going turkey hunting this morning. I'm going to tell you about a turkey story I had about 3 years ago while I was deer hunting.
Okay.
Sitting in the stand, hadn't seen nothing all morning. About 8 o'clock in the morning, happened to look to my right behind my shoulder. I had about 30 turkeys walking behind me through the briars.
Uh huh.
Right before Thanksgiving, I really thought about it, and I said, no, I ain't going to do it. I'm going to go for the deer.
Yeah.
I wish they would open it up right there before Thanksgiving and Christmas, like they do duck season, just for turkeys.
I have never interviewed anybody from the DNR about that, but I would suspect, well, the key to the population of turkeys are the hens, not the gobblers.
Yeah.
But I don't know the reasoning behind that, but I would suspect there's quite a bit of consideration for the safety aspect of having the turkey hunter and the deer hunter in the woods at the same time.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, a little bit. That's a good question. I think I'll seek out that answer in the next week, and we'll be able to talk about it in the next couple.
All right, thanks, sir.
Well, you bet. Good luck to you up there. I think that give them a call at the Burton Hatchery and make sure about all that. Moccasin Creek State Park.
Okay.
All right.
I got it all written down now. Thanks, sir.
Good deal. Be be safe and talk to us soon. 16 after the hour. I need to get out. Well, I've got time for this. Let's talk to Jack. He's calling from Winder on O'Neill Outside. Good morning, Jack.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
Lovely.
I'm headed down to a fishing tournament down in Rome, Rocky Mountain State Reservoir, for a fishing tournament this morning. Me and my partner, Braxton, we're wondering what would be the best kind of fishing lure to use or what kind of water they'll be sitting in, shallow or deep.
Well, they'll be on the way up. What's the limit in the tournament? 5, 8, 10? What is it?
This is a 12-inch. They all fit the 12-inch requirement, or 14 inches, I'm sorry.
Uh-huh. And how many fish? How many weigh in?
We're allowed 5. We're allowed to weigh 5 in per boat.
Okay. It's my feeling that in tournaments where you only can weigh 5 fish, mm-hmm. then you have to fish for big fish. It does. You can catch 50 of them that are 12 and a half inches long, and you will weigh nothing.
Yeah.
So you got. I would do the following. For the first half an hour, maybe the first hour, I would throw top water.
All right. So you think top water actually will be good for crocodile?
You might get a big bite using a Zara Spook or something of that nature.
I got one rigged up already.
Right, and then the next thing I would do would be use a spinnerbait. I would throw a spinnerbait until almost the paint comes off.
All righty.
Because you only need to get 5 bites.
All right.
You throw a plastic worm, you get 50 bites.
All right.
And one weighs, or none weigh. You always get more bites on plastic than you will a spinnerbait. But a spinnerbait is a big fish bait. Now, the only thing I would tell you to do is I would always use a trailer hook this time of year because they'll rise to a spinnerbait and wave at a spinnerbait. But since the water temperature is still a little bit low, they might not bite it very aggressively. That trailer hook will get them. That will get you an extra fish during the day. That one thing, a trailer hook.
And how about going on through later out the day when it comes to closer to the end of the term around noon or 3 o'clock?
I would just slow the spinnerbait down.
Would I use a deeper water or still?
The fish is not going to move very far. If you're fishing 5 to 8 feet deep early, it gets up in the day. I'd fish 10 to 12 feet deep, but I wouldn't change baits. Just slow it down.
All right. I appreciate it very much.
Well, those are things that if it's a team tournament, one of you throw a spinnerbait and the other one throw a big DB3 or a big deep running rebel, something like that.
Back and forth.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. All right, I gotta go, pal. Good luck to you, Jack.
Thanks, sir.
See you soon. This is O'Neill. I'm late for a break. We'll be back.
It's time for Woman Williams and her words of wisdom, brought to you by Hayes Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram.
Thank you very much. How are you?
I am well, ma'am. How are you?
I'm doing good. It's good to talk to you always.
Same to you.
And I enjoyed seeing you last week, too.
I know. It was a rare treat to have you guys in studio.
It was. I love it. Okay. Talking comes by nature. Silence by wisdom. A man of silence is a man of sense.
That doesn't apply to me.
I know it doesn't. And neither does this one. You will never be hurt by anything you don't say. And some people suffer in silence. That would take all the pleasure out of it. And finally, and I like this one the best, silence is an awesome answer.
Oh, my goodness. I never have been able to do that.
Yeah, tell me about it.
She's done it again. Well, I miss you not being here doing those when you don't get up.
Aww. Well,
it adds quite a bit to the show. That's for sure.
Thank you very much.
One of the things I had forgotten to do in the first hour, and I will right now because I have time to do that, is the O'Neill Outside with Travis Johnson 2017 Audience Appreciation Event. How you enter, go to O'NeillOutside.com. Right there on the home page is a big starburst that says 2017 Audience Appreciation Event. At the bottom of the page, just register for our newsletter. Once you do that, you can register every day. Not register every day. You can enter every day. And invariably, the person who always wins these things registers every day. The prize package looks like this. A Big Green Egg, 3 CVA muzzleloaders, 3 CONUS optics, 3 Game Saver food preservation units, 3 household supplies of fire aid, 3 Rockwell tools, 3 recipe books from O'Neill, 3 Timbuktu cloak scents, 3 Realtree shirts and pant outfits, 3 grill grates, 3 Boat US PFDs, 3 works tools, oh my goodness, 3 bug bands, 3 Big Green Egg cookbooks, 3 Roadrunner panfish kits, 3 Fisher's Choice, $3,000 coupons for a Tough Shed, 3 $250 gift certificates from Bass Pro Shop, 3 Bojangles coupons, 3 free, oh my God, it just goes on and on. Register at O'NeillOutside.com. Bottom of the hour, news, weather, sports, and traffic with Charlie O'Brien. Then more with Woman Williams and O'Neill Outside.
I myself have seen my wife.
Now, more of O'Neill Williams.
Fix me some coffee and we might take a few minutes to just listen to that. Isn't that great? Welcome back, everyone. This is O'Neill with Woman Williams. Jason is engineering at WSB, and we are high on our little lean-to cabin up here on Sassafras Mount. Got a little studio in here, which amounts to practically nothing, but there's wires and everything lying around on the floor, and that's where the show comes from.
It's a lot of wires in here.
Yeah, a lot of wires. In July of this year, this will be on television.
Well, it's you scary, keep saying that.
I'll have to get dressed.
You? How about me?
Well,
I have to comb my hair.
We'll just put a picture of you on the screen.
Yeah, that.
Yeah.
That.
That picture right there.
You don't have to worry about combing your hair.
No. Now, was that nice?
Yeah, I thought it was.
Oh, there you go. All right. Well, let's liven things up here with a call from Hank the Yank. What do you say, my good friend?
Just wear a hat. You don't have to worry about your
hair. I will do that.
or even a yarmulke.
Oh, I could do that.
That
doesn't cover up the bald spot completely.
No, not completely.
He's cute. No, it won't. It would.
Well,
his head is so big, they don't make them that big.
I would have to have glue to hold it on. It couldn't hold it on.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Well, you know what we would do? You know what we would do for a guy like you, O'Neill? This is what I'm thinking.
Okay.
We would sew a piece of Velcro into the top of your scalp and then put the other piece on the yarmulke and just, you know, put the Velcro together.
Oh, yeah.
Are all of them the same size?
Yarmulke. The other day I had something to repair up here and a little something to put back together with glue. And I haven't used any super glue in quite a while.
Yeah.
That stuff's dangerous.
It is dangerous. Listen, you need to be thinking about, depending on what you're putting together, better than super glue for a lot of stuff now is that the light curing adhesives. Those things are unbelievable. You can get it from Loon Products, L-O-O-N. And it's the same stuff that they're selling over the counter now for people to use to glue stuff together that your dentist would use when he puts that blue light in your mouth and he, you know, puts a filling or something in and he wants to cap it.
Uh-huh.
You know that they put that glue. Well, they're selling that glue over the counter now with those blue lights, and it is unbelievable. It'll hold just about anything.
What's the name of it?
Oh, which
Loon, L-O-O-N, Loon. O'Neill, I'm thinking this could be another product for you to now put on the radio to sponsor.
Absolutely, Loon, I think so.
Is that
L-O-O-N,
you just Loon? Google that.
Loon, yeah, Loon product. Yeah, if you look under Loon, you'll see the light curing adhesives.
Okay. Which reminds me, Henry, you can observe, honey, that big tall vase out there on the deck.
Yeah, I saw it. It failed. Pieces of it.
I didn't knock it over. I just walked by it and it fell.
I thought the wind blew it over.
I thought he'd blame it on a bear.
Well, that too.
But it's about 8 or 9 pieces now.
At least.
Yeah. So
time for a new vase. Well, listen, exactly. let me just tell you, since you guys are giving things away in threes.
Uh-huh.
I've got another 3 for you if the people will get on the website.
Okay.
And sign up.
All right.
You ready?
Ready.
Mac Farr's boat, Bill uh-huh. Carson's boat, and Hal Coleman's boat.
Oh, give away those three boats.
That's three boats. We'll add
on. Oh, man, what a great idea. Did you ask them about that, or you just want me to assume?
No, you know,
that?
They just allow me to talk for them. I'm sure they're
see.
Agents.
I see. Okay.
I think I remember that you and Travis gave away O'Neill's boat 1 week.
Yes, you did, as a matter of fact.
We did, a long time ago.
Yeah.
We're going to give away O'Neill's boat.
Ago.
So. You know, there's 65 prizes in that audience appreciation event thing.
Incredible.
65.
That's a lot. That's a lot of prizes.
Yeah, no kidding.
Hey, isn't the Bassmasters this weekend?
Yes,
it is.
Yeah.
Well,
I
know our boy Carson's is down in Texas. That's where they're having it.
Uh huh.
And so I know Bill's down there, and you know, he's a BMOC down there this weekend because of Humminbird. You know.
Oh, certainly.
You know that's. I saw he's been posted most of the week. I guess it started yesterday or today. I'm not quite sure. But anyway, are you ready for a fishing report?
I am.
I'm going to give you a live fishing report from Hammond's Fishing Center, which is where I'm sitting right now.
Okay, great.
And if I can get the lines are halfway out the door for guys getting their bait this morning. I guess guys are going crappie fishing and striper fishing and some of the guys are going bass fishing, so but here's what I can tell you. The striper bite has been off the charts.
Oh.
This past week, the fishing was good, not great, but we are now, you and I talk all the time how the moon phases make a big difference.
Yes.
On the bite, and we are on our new moon phase that started yesterday.
Okay.
And come yesterday, that fishing went from good to great, and guys were catching big numbers. They were putting big numbers up, and the fish are spread out. I mean, it almost doesn't matter whether you're north or south right now. It's that good. I'll be below Brown's Bridge this morning fishing mid-lake and south, but there are fish as far up as Little River and up the Chattahoochee with those fish getting ready to spawn. And the crappie bite, from what I understand, is also off the chain right now with the on the moon phase. They really bite well through the moon as well. And so I'm understanding that guys are – I'm hoping today, because of opening day of turkey season, the lake might be a little lighter. It's not showing here at Hammond's. I could tell you it doesn't look like it's turkey season at Hammond's Fishing Center because they got a line coming out the door.
Great. You know, I might make an observation here that we've repeated many times, but it does bear repeating, and that is this. How the moon phase affects fishing at Lake Lanier – since the moon has more effect over a broader place, it affects fishing at places other than Lanier.
No question about it. No question about it.
Yeah, just
I would agree with you 100%.
Okay.
I would agree with you 100%. You know, it's funny, when I'm putting my trips together, I get a lot of guys, like right now my next available date, just to give you for instance, is May. I'm already booked for the rest of March and all April is gone.
Great.
But when a guy calls me up right now and says, "Hey, Henry, we want to go out with you on a, you know, try for stripers on a fly rod, you know, what do you have open?" And I say, "Okay, you available in May?" They go, "Yeah, what would be a good date?" And the first thing I do is I look at my moon phases, and I take those 7 days before the full moon, 3 days after the full moon, 3 days before the new moon, and 3 days after the new moon. And that gives me 16 days to try and put my customers in first before I do any fishing for me. And if I do that, I usually end up putting a chip, so to speak, on the side of good fishing.
Yes.
And, you know, all good fishing it really is how many chips you can put on your side versus take away.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can get a day where it's overcast, that's a chip on your side. A day where it's light winds, that's a chip on your side. A day where you got the moon phase is a chip on your side. All those things help. If they're generating from the dam when you're planning on fishing, that's a chip on your side. The more chips you put on your side, the better the chances are that you're going to have a really good day of catching rather than fishing.
I had someone ask me this week, as a matter of fact, about the moon phases and whether the moon phase affects us and the fish and the wildlife. And my response was, hey, it affects the tides. It's pretty powerful.
Yeah, it definitely does.
On all of us.
On all of us. There's no question about it.
You
There's
bet.
No question about it. So I wonder how it'll be for the turkey hunters out there on the moon. I imagine it would affect that. Do they Do you know, is opening day for turkey season, O'Neill, the same every year, or is it based on a moon phase calendar?
It's within 8 or 9 days of the, but it has to do with the temperatures and the photo period more than the moon phase.
Oh, okay, I got you. That's interesting.
Photo period, how it affects the turkey through his eyes and his skin.
Right. Well, anybody who's sitting at home right now thinking if they should come to Lanier and Striper Fish or go turkey hunting, I'm going to encourage them to go turkey hunting.
Okay. Okay.
Well, all right, pal, look. What's that? I'm sorry.
I was going to say, just, you know, fish in the morning. Let the birds go ahead and have their business with the hens, and then come back about 11:30 or 12 o'clock and take a turkey. Really make it a big
day. There you go. And then get the fryer out by 4 p.m.
That's right. Get the big green egg out.
Get the egg out at 4 p.m. and then remember to call O'Neill and Hank the Yank by 6.
Yeah, that's a full day.
That's a beautiful day. I'm in.
There you go.
All right. Well, listen. You guys have a great weekend. Enjoy that yarmulke, and we'll speak to you guys. I'll speak to Travis before I speak to you next.
Okay. And now let me ask you this now. Does it matter what color the yarmulke is?
No, it doesn't matter. You know, okay. It doesn't matter. I kind of go for that blue and white color.
Oh, do you? Well,
because that's the color of Israel. So,
that's,
you know.
Right. Mine's going to be blaze orange.
You know, that would be really, I got to tell you, that would be really funny. An Orthodox Jew hunter with a blaze orange yarmulke. That would be a sight.
We've got to do that, you know.
You know, that would be really, really, you know, Travis, we could make Travis our Orthodox Jew for the day because he's got the beard.
That's right.
Yeah.
So we just got to get him a blaze orange yarmulke. I'll see if they sell them at Hammond's.
Okay. Say hello to everybody over there, pal.
I certainly will, buddy. Have a great weekend, guys.
You too. Always great to hear from Henry. It's always an interesting call, and if you listen closely, there'll be something to learn from it, whether it's the time of the day, the size of the bait, the moon phase, success in business, fishing, turkey hunting, deer hunting. By and large, that success is planned success. Of course, you hear about somebody who didn't do anything in planning, who's standing next to a tree smoking a cigarette, and he kills a 150-class deer. That's just blind luck. The guy who catches the big fish, the most fish, kills the biggest deer, kills the most turkeys, catches the most stripers, is because of his experience and the application of that experience. And those lessons learned, and occasionally, you learn something by listening to a radio show or a television show.
And
I have
can,
one picked out.
We figured out how to keep a yarmulke on.
Oh, yeah, with the Velcro.
With the big head.
I wasn't thrilled with the idea of sewing.
Well, you wouldn't have to do it but
into
once.
My skin. Well, you know, we got that light. Just glue it there for a while, right?
Good.
What's the name of that light stuff? Loom?
Loom, yeah. Loom or
and
loom.
You put the, it's a liquid, and then you use a light to activate it.
I think I've heard of that. I just thought it would be too much trouble to do.
I saw it on some
you can just glue your fingers together.
Yeah, I did that the other day. It was
very
fun.
Easily.
Yeah.
I've done that a few times.
Uh-huh, no kidding. Well, right now, guess what?
Mike Hayes, good morning.
Mike, how are you?
I'm very good. And you?
I tell you what, it's going to be a beautiful day today, and I hope that's about to get all your yard work done, because it's going to be over after that.
You got that right. Well, I thought of something that we don't do very often. We've ever done this. I didn't see you, but I was over at your dealership in Lawrenceville this week getting my car serviced. And, you know, you have some unsung heroes in your dealership. And you know who they are? It's
in
your service department.
You're absolutely right. That's right.
You know, when you think about it, you know, they take care of us after the sale of the car. They take care of us for a very long time. You can...
Well, the service department sells cars because of the service. Everybody comes back for service.
Yes.
And then they'll buy a car. So we have to take care of them on the backside, not just sell them a good car, but we have to take care of them in the service department. So thank you for that.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm impressed with how quickly they get it done. They're very thorough, and they're very friendly. Do you train them on the job?
Yes, we have Chrysler's Express Lube. It's, you know, we have to get the job done in 30 minutes, get the customer back on the road. Of course, we do have Master Techs, Chrysler Master Techs. I've got 6 or 7 Master Techs.
Wow.
And 10 ASE, Automotive Service Excellence Master Techs. So everybody's trained well, and they all appreciate the customer, and that's what it's all about.
Yes, I felt appreciated very much so. So well, I think... Go ahead.
We've got a lot of people that have been there. I probably got 10 people that's been there for 20 years or better. So they know their job, and they do a great job. So, yeah.
Well, I think they all deserve a raise.
Oh, don't say that on the air. Now I am in trouble.
Too late.
Yeah,
all right.
Don't mess that one up.
Okay. Well, you have a wonderful day and a wonderful weekend, and I hope to talk to you next week.
And thank you very much, Woman Williams. Bye-bye.
See ya.
Now, more of O'Neill Williams. Honor, courage, and strength of character. These qualities are embodied by the recipients of the Medal of Honor. This week's Medal of Honor recipient brought to you by Hayes Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram.
Francis Curry, Private First Class U.S. Army, December 1944. German tanks advanced to the 3rd Platoon's position. Sergeant Curry found a bazooka, and in the face of small arms and machine gun and artillery fire, he knocked out the tank with one shot. Moving to another position, he observed 3 Germans in the doorway of a field enemy house. He killed all 3. Advancing then within 50 yards, he discovered a group of 5 of his comrades that were pinned down and had been for almost 30 hours. Realizing they could not escape until an enemy tank and infantry guns had been silenced, using his bazooka, grenades, and his automatic weapon, he killed them all and freed the 5 comrades that had been trapped for 30 hours. Deprived of the tanks with heavy infantry casualties, the enemy was forced to withdraw. He rescued 5 of those of his comrades, 2 of whom were wounded, and made the position safe for the platoon. Francis Curry, Private First Class, December 1944, recipient of the Medal of Honor. 56 after the hour. Boy, sometimes it's hard for me to get through those things.
I can tell.
Oh. When you think about what these guys voluntarily did,
mm-hmm.
then I put myself in those positions, and I have a hard time getting through it. And I hope that everyone still realizes, and I've said it so many times, we do this Medal of Honor tribute because of the following thing that happened. A few years ago, a very popular, outstandingly talented singer died from a drug overdose, and she drowned in her bathtub. And the state in which she lived put the flags at half staff. That made me mad.
Yeah.
So for these men and women, many of whom died protecting their comrades, I thought it might be appropriate for me to mention them, their names, and many times their hometowns and what they did so that they could be awarded the Medal of Honor. And I hope you appreciate it.
And we're going to start doing some other...
Oh, yes. And pretty soon we'll have, in the first hour, we will have the local hero, the fireman, the policeman, the trooper, the firefighter, who sacrificed himself, put himself on the line, and became a hero and saved people's lives. Other than that serious subject, have a great turkey day, everybody. Catch a few fish. And if you're too busy to take a kid along, you're too busy. We'll see you guys in a couple of weeks.
a song of you.
A song.